Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard is my hero.
Jay Buhner just punched me in the kidney.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We're going to do you on the interview.
Don't really work that way, Sherm. This is a show that has my name on it.
It kind of does, though.
Brought to you by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
Hello!
You can tell that Maura's the young one here because she always writes in this very small type, and then I have to read something she sent over, and yeah. I got to bring out the Ebenezers in order to do that. But Brock.
Yes. You mean 12 font?
Yeah.
That's very small.
It is now. Yeah. It didn't used to be. It is now. Yeah. There's a reason this show sheet's in 15 Arial. Let's be clear, Maura. 15 Arial is the official font of the Brock and Salk show.
Wait,
I don't know, but that's what it is.
Is your phone, do you have the bigger text on your phone
too? No.
Okay.
Not yet.
I mean, You're pretty defensive about that.
I mean, I need to use my glasses in order to read the phone, but it's not on the bigger font just
me
yet,
too.
Justin.
I've done the same thing, Salk. I haven't taken that step.
Just wondering.
That feels like a real admission of age that I'm kind of unwilling to get to. So that's okay. You'll get here one day, buddy. You just turned yesterday.
I know,
and
I will.
You're another year closer to needing these glasses. That's fine. More, is this from Bill Barnwell? Is that who sent this originally? Okay, so Bill Barnwell was doing kind of what should each team do. At number 16, the Seattle Seahawks should trade down. Mm-hmm. After years of trading down, longtime Seattle GM John Schneider might want to consider getting back into the act. Traded down 14 times in the first two rounds of the draft between 2010 and 19, but he stayed put in each of the four subsequent drafts. He now has full personnel control, so we'll see if there are changes to the Seahawks drafting philosophy now. You could make a case that the most prominent weakness on this roster is at guard. But I'm not sure that's a position Seattle will want to address in round one. With Schneider down his second round pick from Leonard Williams trade and a third rounder as part of the Sam Howell deal, moving down to add extra day two selections is both an on-brand move and a logical use of the organization's remaining resources.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to feel if that comes true?
I feel very certain that's going to happen. The more that I look at all of these mocks, Salk, that don't have trades, and you take pick number 16 and then you wait till 80 with just this team and this new regime, you want to me give them more clay to mold, give them more kind of difference makers, give them, you know, play to their advantage, their inherent advantage that they have of being in college football, the Jay Harbaughs the last, you know, number of years, and really play to that opportunity. Even Mike McDonald having been there just a couple years ago. So I we felt that way through all of those years, and 11, 12, 13, 14, all of those times, 14, he said, until 2019. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was just all of a sudden some seismic shift that said, nope, we're done trading down. From this day forward, we're going to just absolutely take a pick. I think it was the market was favorable to them over these years, and they had the player that value that they really liked and needed.
And there were some years where we think they wanted to trade down and were unable to do it.
Correct.
So that is also another possibility, right? I mean, you only have, 10 minutes to find somebody in that moment. Yep. I know they've worked on it for months ahead of time.
Yep.
But in that moment, based on what's happened, was it a few years ago that Love went right before them, right? Jordan Love? And because of it, it seemed like that sort of changed things a little bit. And the next thing you know, they weren't able to trade down.
Hard to trade down in the 20s. Much, much easier when you're at the fulcrum point that they are at 16, and especially in this draft. So I felt that way when Matt Miller talked to us last week. That's probably the best news I had heard in some time. And this is what all of these organizations are doing right now. They are mapping out, okay, where is this thing going to go? They're trying to figure out not only what they want to do, but what the rest of the market is going to do. And I think, Salk, the more that you look at that, I know these computer models and baseball in particular, they love to put out these 3 million, we just did 3 million projections, and here's what the numbers all spit out.
Mm-hmm.
I think as you get, if the Seahawks had made the playoffs and you're sitting there at 19 or 20, I don't feel as good about it as I do at 16. At 16, you're going to have this run on QBs. At 16, you're going to have these run on receivers. At 16, you're going to have these run on tackles. At 16, there's going to be some amazing defensive players left.
Yeah.
There's going to be possibly an amazing receiver left that somebody really needs and wants.
So let's buy into this for a moment. Okay, I'm in. They should trade down. What does that actually look like on draft day? Because the other thing we know about this draft is that after the third round, it sounds like it really falls off precipitously. So if you're trading back, I have to hope this isn't about adding a bunch of fourth, fifth, and sixth round
picks. I would
picks.
Have to say after the fourth round. I just personally, in talking to Joel and DJ and listening to these guys, I would actually say be careful of saying third round. Be careful of just saying 85 or 90. I think it's going to be a whole lot closer to like 110, 120. So fifth, sixth, seventh round. Then we can start talking about some scarcity, whereas because there's 55 underclassmen instead of 150. So that's where you're going to feel the scarcity. I think, so that'd be my only addendum, what you just said right there. I'm not searching for fifth and sixth and seventh rounders.
Okay.
I'm just not. Now, maybe they are. Maybe they feel like, hey, man, this is actually where there is a market inefficiency. Everybody's going to throw these away, and we've got XYZ. We've got, 10 players that we would really like in the fifth, sixth, seventh round and go for it. But I think, starters coming in here and actually making an impact as a rookie, I think you can probably stretch to 100, maybe 120.
So what are you adding? What are you looking to add? How far back are you willing to go? Are you willing to get out of the first round?
Yeah, I think the great question there is, and I apologize, I don't have the note up in front of me, which team's got the two second rounders, but if you're sitting there trading out of 16 and you get pick 35 and 41, right? Is that better than 16? If you were to trade down to 25 or 26, is there that much difference and then add another third? Would you rather have 26 and then another third? Or would you rather have two? To me, sweet spot feels like, man, if I could have two in the top 45, I think I'd rather have that than say 26 and, 75 and 81, So that's what I'm going to keep kind of
so
my
eye on. If I understand what you're saying, just to kind of to restate that.
Yeah.
In other words, you would rather trade farther back for
volume before 50.
Right. You'd rather some volume before farther 50. Away from 16 in order to add more picks that are closer to 16, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Right?
The Commanders have two second rounders.
There you go.
As do the Eagles.
And we know that Howie Roseman is someone that's pretty close. We know they just brokered a deal with Sam Howell to get him here. And a bunch of different reports were out there that very much mirrored what I had heard, that it wasn't just the Rams. There were multiple teams that wanted Sam Howell. So the fact that John got that deal done with Washington, the fact that John has great relationship with Philadelphia and Howie Roseman, thank you, Maura. Those would be the two teams that
maybe Washington
would keep an
eye on. Trade them back their third round pick.
Well, they have the other third round pick, right? Yeah, they still have one third round pick. So it's not as if it's in that article in Bill wrote, it's made it sound like, man, they didn't even have a third round pick. No, they still got that third round pick.
No, I know. They have one.
Yep.
But they had two.
They did.
Maybe Washington will trade it back to them.
They did. Yeah, probably not. But yeah, it's worth worth asking for. That's where I feel. I feel like, if I can get a little more supply, if I can get three or four picks, Salk, before 80 or 85 or wherever the Seahawks third round pick is, sign me up for that. Give me four. Not two, not 16 and not 81. I can't come out now. I say all of that. And if a Troy Fautanu falls to them at 16, I'm going to be doing backflips, right? I'm going to be so excited because you have just got an absolute difference maker in stud on your old line to address your biggest need on this team. You put Troy Fautanu next to Charles Cross. You've got a different group, man. You have got the threshold of not being good, but being great. I'm not going to say Steve Hutchinson and Walter Jones because those are two of the best to ever, ever do it. But Seahawks fans know the impact when you've got a Hall of Fame left side, when you've got greatness up there, how much better that makes everybody else. So I can say all these wish lists and I could tell you all that I want. But when we're there at the VMAC on that Thursday in 2 weeks and Troy Fautanu happens to be on that board because there's a run on quarterbacks and there's a run on receivers. And oh my gosh, this dude is here and he's just a difference maker for you. I don't know if I could have the stones to roll him back.
If he's there and they pass and they trade back? How will you feel?
Oh, it'd be very hard.
You have mixed emotions. Yes. Very sad.
He might be the one, seriously, of my 20 draft profiles.
He's the one.
He might be the only one.
Wow.
Where I would
anybody
feel
else
like,
is there, you're like, all right, trade back.
Yeah.
But if it's him.
If a Jared Verse is there, or, you know, if there's, you know, one of these other really good, great players, like, yeah, I just. Altanu's going to be the one, and that's probably emotional, and there's probably some bias in all of that, but yep. I just think he's that kind of caliber of athlete up front.
Great stuff. Okay, coming up next, we'll give you guys everything you need to know before Jeff Passan joins us, including, Brock, a comp on a quarterback whose name has come up a few times here, probably not at number 16, but in your scenario where you're trading back, I wonder if this name will be more intriguing in some ways. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com. O'Brien.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Massive, the power of pop culture, is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition, featuring iconic artifacts from artists Beyonce, Nirvana, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
Greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. The only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email. BestDiamondPrice.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to Mariners.com/Kids Club to join.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, unfortunately, the start of this Mariners season has looked all too familiar for Mariner fans and feels very predictable at the moment. They're going to have to do something to change that because right now, 4-7, just not going to get it done. The pitching has been subpar. It was again yesterday with Luis Castillo. The hitting, we talked to Scott Servais 45 minutes ago, and he said that's the thing that has been the most problematic and the thing that can still turn around the most. But it's been everything. The defense, thankfully, was a little better last night, but that's been an issue. Mm-hmm. They just haven't played very good baseball.
They're just not consistent. We're not putting a full game together, either on the mound or at the plate right now, and you know, that's what happens. You're not gonna win many games unless you start doing that.
After talking to Scott, Brock, anything jump out to you in a positive or negative or concerning way?
I just think that word rhythm. Rhythm. I think I've got to add that to my lexicon of baseball terminology. We always talk about momentum as the next day's starting pitcher, and that will be George Kirby today, and it will be Logan the following day, which always gives you hope. You love that as you kind of start to look at your record and where you're sitting right now and things that you've got to get done and meeting expectations and everything else, but just rhythm. Rhythm. I also loved what he said about Ty France. You just get to clinchers. You just get away from it for 3 days and you're not thinking about it. You're not looking at the numbers. You're not studying spin. You're not doing any of that. You're just like, yeah, grip it and rip it.
It's
right. You've been that way on the golf course. Yeah. You've been that way on a golf course, right? Like, oh man, I feel great. And I, you know, got this lesson, spending time on the range. And then you go out there and you shank it and you're like, oh, now I'm doomed, versus parking the car, running out there, not even warming up and just lacing it down the fairway. Something to be said for that as well.
I've actually stopped warming up on the golf course.
I know you have.
I'm done.
I witnessed
I'm out. I'm no more hitting balls at the range beforehand. There's only so many swings in this back.
That's
and
true.
And so, yeah, I made fun of Scott for being an old man. Mm-hmm. I am too. There's only so many swings in the back. Yeah. I don't need fatigue to become a factor down the stretch. George Kirby will go tonight, trying to put that last performance in the rearview mirror. And then roster moves yesterday. Samad Taylor back to Tacoma. What do you think of Samad while he was up?
He can run, man.
He can
scoot. I'm going to guess if this thing plays out the way we all hope it will, we will see him
at some point.
Yes,
him and Haggerty when Haggerty's healthy as well. Ty France returned from paternity leave. And then both Colin Snyder and Cody Bolton, a couple of new bullpen arms, both on the IL. For Bolton, it's kidney stone. So obviously he'll be back. But man, my prayers to you, guy. That is the worst. And then Colin Snyder took that ball off the kneecap. He should be fine. We did get to see Tyson Miller and Brett DeGuise yesterday. Adam Miller actually pitched pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
He's been around a little bit. He's been up and down in the big leagues, three different teams last year. So I don't know how highly thought of he is, but I thought he actually looked pretty good last night.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, the number is just huge, and I can't say it enough. 18.7 million viewers. That was the average rating for Iowa and South Carolina on Sunday. Better than any basketball game, any other non-football or Olympic game for the last 5 years. That is simply an incredible number. And at its peak, it hit more than 24 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Caitlin Clark, you know, she's not the only reason for that, but she's probably the biggest single reason. And I thought it was a good point Christine Brennan made yesterday with us. Like, hey, this doesn't end. It's not like, okay, Caitlin Clark now goes away for a year. WNBA draft is in a few days, and then their season starts in a few weeks.
Yeah, you know what's interesting, Salk, is now she's going to have to navigate a world that no other women's basketball player ever has. And there have been amazing, amazing players. Mm-hmm. The Lisa Leslies and the Parkers and the Maya Moores and the Taurasis and the Birds who are still, you know, and Diana's still playing at 41. But none of them drew that kind of number, had that kind of number in recognition attached.
Right.
Right? Because with that kind of number and that notoriety and that Q rating, you know what comes? State Farm Insurance. What's already come her way with these amazing commercials, these Gatorade and State Farm, and the people that all want a piece of her. Mm-hmm. They all want a piece of her.
And she hasn't done anything in that league yet.
No, she is not. So as heavy as the crown was to carry college basketball, now she's going to start to carry that into the WNBA. And how do you handle that? You know, we talk about Peyton, we talk about Julia, we talk about Ichiro. How do you put those people around you to make sure you keep the main thing the main thing, which is her incredible basketball prowess? It's going to have to grow against grown women.
Well, congratulations to the UConn men. They win their second championship in a row. Give up 37 points to Zach Edey yesterday, but they held the rest of the team in check, and they cruise to another championship.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Back to work for the Seahawks. We were just talking about it. Voluntary workout, which is, to me, incredibly important anyway, but even more so with a new coaching staff here. Brock, as we creep up closer to the draft, I thought you might find this sound interesting. This is your friend Joey Harrington talking about Bo Nix.
I think people generalized him as a guy who throws bubble screens. Right, that his numbers came from dink and dunk kind of passes. He can make every throw on the field, and actually he pushed the ball down the field quite a bit. Yeah, he was incredibly accurate in the short range stuff, but he throws the mid-range ball very well.
Yeah, he also compared him to Russell Wilson throwing a good deep ball. He's not a first round pick in all likelihood, but is that a name you would consider in the second round?
I don't think so.
Me neither.
Nope. You've got Sam Howell for $1 million a year for the next 2 years. And no, I don't think quarterback is going to be in play in this draft. I think they read the market. They read the tea leaves. And it sure looks like, Salk, all the momentum is pushing towards J.J. McCarthy going now even in the top five. Certainly probably not passing the Giants at number six. There's conversations. The whole Giants regime, head coach, GM, coordinator were out here and took Michael Penix to dinner. There's a lot of momentum starting to build with Penix. And then, you know, listening to Denver radio talk about Bo Nix at 12 to the Broncos and how they have to take a QB. And, you know, they've got it. So, yeah, I don't think quarterback's going to be in play. I think John and his personnel department read that right. Not going to happen. So you go out. And so did the Rams, by the way. And so did the other teams, the three other teams that all wanted Sam Howell. Talk about the deficiencies or what Sam can't do. There were a whole lot of teams that wanted him, right? Because they knew how crazy this draft was going to go. Seahawks ended up getting him. I don't think we're going to be talking QB in 2 weeks in the draft.
All right, there you go. That is everything you need to know.
Not to Seattle.
Every hour.
We'll be talking QB in the draft. Just
not
to Seattle.
Not here.
Not to Seattle, which makes, once again, your 16th pick pretty darn valuable. Can you imagine if six QBs go before 16? If you add Penix and Nix to that list and six go before 16.
So,
and oh, by the way,
six
generational offensive tackles. Joe Alt. Right, all like he's amazing. You know, there's three or four just generational or starting or super super high quality tackles.
So
and oh, by the way, three generational
wide receivers. So that's
and
six,
Harrison
nine,
and Odunze and Neighbors.
12.
Yes.
Right. This will limit you to 16. But
oh, by the way, then there's Jarrett Verse, and then there's all these defensive, defensive players as well.
Right.
And Dallas Turner, the edge guy out of Alabama, that in any other years, probably a top five pick. Mm. So, I mean, yeah, at 16, you start to get into a spot that I think is going to be very, very desirable for some of those that miss out on that tackle, miss out on that receiver, miss out on a quarterback, miss out on what they certainly need for their roster.
The Mariners are 4-7, Brock. The way they've played, they should probably be 2-9. How serious is the problem? We're going to ask Jeff Passan that question a whole lot more next. Stick around. It's coming up on Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710 and the Seattle Sports app.
Washington residents get special discounts on tickets and memberships all throughout May. Plan your vacation today and see MoPop's newest exhibition, Massive, The Power of Pop Culture. Open now. Tickets at mopop.org/vacation.
Cantor Diamond, 4 generations of professionalism, quality, and low prices. Let us earn your business and we'll make you our top priority. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email, CantorDiamond.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
You're free now, free to stream beyond your wildest dreams, free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber, your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Weekdays 6 to 10.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, kind of bouncing around today. We do have another Brock Heward draft profile coming up in 30 minutes. Looking forward to that. Good one today, Brock. What do we got? We got a first
round
pick today.
I like this guy just a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot. Not a first rounder because the production, what he was asked to do as a defensive lineman,
okay,
was not earth shattering. In fact, the career numbers, you look at him and go, no way. I mean, look at what he's hardly done anything. But he was part of a blue wall that was a national champion, and I like guys like
okay.
that.
Okay, well, that sounds good. All right, we'll get to that coming up here in a half hour right now. It's time on time this week, which is great. Jeff Passan joining us from ESPN, talk a little baseball. Jeffrey, good morning.
Oh, glad to be coming into the Chuckle Hut there, Salk.
That's us. Yeah, it's like a comedy show here on the Brock and Salk show. We'll get to the Mariners. I want to start broader before we talk about our 4-7 baseball team that hasn't really.
I was going to say, I bet you do want to start on some subject other
start
than the Mariners.
Somewhere else. 4-7, they've probably played closer to 2-9. It's not been a good start. But the biggest story in America right now, sports wise, of course, has been the women's tournament and Caitlin Clark and just the buzz of all of it. I would assume that you've been caught up in that as well.
I was among the 18.7 million, yes.
I would assume so. Okay, so here's my question. To bring it back to baseball, what would it take for baseball to create the kind of buzz that women's college basketball has had for the last 2 weeks?
Well, let's focus, I think, on specifically what you said. You were not talking just about women's college basketball, the sport, right?
Right.
What name did you say in there?
I might have mentioned Caitlin Clark's name.
Yeah. And look, that's what it is, right? I mean, it is a star of stars. And to me, that's how this happens. And it happened once before, back in 98. I mean, when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were doing their thing, all of America was tuned in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And baseball's cultural resonance was no greater in 1998 than it is, like, it, just generally speaking, than it had been any time, you know, in the 20 years prior, probably. I understand baseball was online. It was in the midst of an interesting run. You know, the Yankees dynasty was just starting, which kind of turns fans off a little bit because it's the Yankees. But it was stars. And that's why I'm going to tie this back to something that it may not seem on the surface ties well to it. That's why this starting pitching injury crisis frightens me so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's because Major League Baseball is essentially saying that half of our player population is being put in a position of such peril that we're willing to put them out there and allow them, because of what we encourage our pitchers to do, allow them to be in harm's way. And in doing so, we are taking stars that could be made, and we are ridding them from our sport because of injuries. Mm. And to me, what baseball has long been missing is that transcendent star. Shohei Ohtani is the closest thing we've seen to it, and still it was not enough to get everyone to watch. So I think it is somebody who is so above and beyond ridiculously good that when you're in the office or when you're with your friends, you can bring him up in conversation and, you know, not be like, oh, you're talking about that. Like, if you were with somebody this weekend and you were talking about Caitlin Clark, it's almost like if the other person wasn't conversant in her or in women's basketball, they were the ones who were missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is where baseball can go. And I don't know who that person's going to be, but there's no quick fix. There's no like silver bullet. I mean, you know, we look at a league like the NBA guys that has a ton of stars, and the women's final outrated every NBA game of like the last how many years? I think like 10, something like that.
Golf had Tiger, total game changer. Women's basketball has now had Caitlin. I think the NBA had Jordan in the 80s that really propelled. And there were other stars, obviously, in all of these.
Magic and Bird before that.
Sure, absolutely. There were certainly other stars. The NFL saw Tom Brady win 7 Super Bowls over 20 years, something that nobody thought ever could be done. Can you craft that player in baseball, Jeffrey? Can you say, okay, this is what you need for this star to be like?
No, I mean, if I were to create a player, it would have been someone like Ohtani, who's doing something that's never been done.
And yet it's not sustainable.
It's not just that it's not just that it's not sustainable. I think that it wasn't enough. Like it wasn't enough to get everyone tuned in. I think with baseball, part of that, let's put it this way. If Ohtani were like chasing a record, maybe that would have been a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
but probably not. I mean, he just happened to be on a team that was terrible for the entirety of his career. Like, the game just stunk, and there was no record that he was chasing. He was just like, it was kind of boring. He was being really consistent. Like, I'm sorry, but like, super consistent performance does not make you say, you know what, I'm going to tune in.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think baseball is one of those games. It's what makes Sosa and McGwire so remarkable. Baseball is not one of those games that breeds must-watch individuals. And so to see, you know, in hindsight, how they captured just the entire country back in 98, I mean, it was awesome. I really wish I'd been covering baseball back then, because it would have been so much fun.
You mentioned the arm injuries. I know that one of the conversations here is about the pitch clock, and the union has brought it up. Do you believe, yeah. I mean, you've written the book on it quite literally, the arm. Is there any evidence at all to suggest that the pitch clock is factoring into these arm injuries?
Zero. But, and this is a really important but, you still should study it. You still should look into it. That's where we are with this. Every single element of a pitcher's game deserves a really keen eye on it. And it's because we don't know. And I am, you know, I'm the guy who spent 4 years studying it, and I don't know. And that was, I read back through, there was a particular chapter in the arm that was meant to, I remember writing it, and it was like, I'm going to try and predict the future, which is a scary thing to do when you're a writer, because the likelihood that egg ends up on your face, even if you know the subject forward and backward, is pretty strong. And I went back and I looked through this chapter, and for the most part, it kind of holds up. But even with that, guys, I still wrote that book and finished that book without having an answer after 4 years, which was a deeply dissatisfying thing for me personally. It's like, you know, you devote enough time to a subject and you still feel like you don't have an answer. Like, what, you know, you can only take so much solace in the journey, right? I went into that book thinking I'm going to find someone, something, and come out of it and say, this is the problem. No, there is no silver bullet. There is no panacea. There's just better process and better ideals. And the way that guy's pitch right now, it's very simple. It's just, it does not lead to long-term health. And like I hate to bring it home here, but the one thing I think we do know pretty well at this point, don't know if it's causative, do know pretty well that it's correlated. The harder you throw, the likelier you are to get hurt. And the Seattle Mariners got a lot of hard throwing pitchers.
Yep.
I mean, a lot. And, you know, it is, I hate to say it, not with all of them, hopefully. They're outliers, but I fear that it's just a matter of time. And just to put a bow on your original question here, because, you know, I can talk about this for hours. I don't think it's the pitch clock, but I do think it's important that some pitchers do think it's the pitch clock, and they're the ones out there, and they know better than anyone how they feel. And so it's incumbent on Major League Baseball to at very least listen to them and add that to whatever they're looking into right now, especially if that's the price that they have to pay for the modern pitchers to sit down and talk with them and give their insight, which has not happened to this point. And if you're doing a study that doesn't include the stakeholders in this, it's an incomplete study.
I promise, Mariner fans, we will get to Julio and the Mariners in just 1 second. Let me just finish this off with what is really scary to me, Jeffrey, is I've got a child, as you would term him. I've got a child of my own at 14. Quote, I started following the injury patterns and injury rates in the year 2000. This is Dr. James Andrews. Back in those days, I did about 8 or 9 Tommy Johns per year on high school and younger kids. The large majority of Tommy Johns were at the major league level, then the minor league level, then the college level, and maybe a handful of high school kids. In today's situation, whole thing's flipped. The largest number is youth baseball. They've surpassed what's being done in the major leagues, and that is a terrible situation. He says the obsession with velocity and spin at the youth level is having a devastating impact on arms and the game itself. Final quote, these kids are throwing 90 their junior year of high school, which I just watched yesterday. The ligament itself can't withstand that kind of force. We've learned in a research lab that baseball is a developmental sport. The Tommy John ligament matures at 26. In high school, the red line where the forces go beyond the tensile properties of the ligament is 80. Jeff, they're throwing 80 as eighth graders. This is kind of scary stuff to yours truly and to what you said to the game of baseball overall if it is not sustainable biologically.
So my kid comes home from summer camp. You know, we have tried to keep him away from the absolute racket that is like travel ball. And in large part because, you know, the idea of him going and throwing all the time and playing year-round baseball and that is destroying kids' arms. My kid gets home and he no will come as a shock to you because I am decidedly not. But he's a tall kid and he's got an arm that moves very fast, but he only, you know, he only weighed like 155 pounds. And the first thing he says is I need to gain weight, right? I need to get bigger. I need to get stronger. And I'm like, okay, that's an admirable goal. Like why? And the answer is I got to throw harder. Mm. Now I understand his motivations there, because let's look, if you want to pitch in college as he does or play in college as is a goal of his, and he's a very, very goal oriented person. The only way you're going to get on the radar of college coaches is if you hit 90.
Yeah.
Like that is just a truth of yes. where things have gone.
Yeah.
And so I sit here and, you know, I am literally the guy who wrote the book on the subject, and I'm watching my child walk exactly toward the area where I'm suggesting to other parents, like it's you know, it's like Anakin in the really bad Star Wars movie where his whole body gets burned off and he's going, no, it's like slow motion, me seeing the kid going toward that. And I can't say to him, no, don't. I mean, it's, you know, I'm not going to put a restrictor plate on his life. He understands the consequences. He understands the, you know, he's a smart enough kid where he gets everything that's in play here. This is just the way for him to do it right now. You want to talk about a sport that's broken, guys? It's not broken because all of the players that have gotten hurt at the big league level are getting hurt. It's broken because the incentive structure is such that it's beginning at the youth level.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Change that, yeah. You change the game.
Yeah. Great stuff. All right, Jeff, let's, because we still have another 10 minutes here, talk about this 4-7 Mariner team. As I said, they've probably played closer to 2-9 baseball. How serious a problem is it?
I'm not there yet. We do this every year, guys. Sometimes it's the Mariners, sometimes it's other teams that start off really bad. This may be cold comfort, but the fact that they're 4-7 when like everybody on the team but Ty France can't hit right now is actually a good thing, because you're right. By run differential, I believe they've got the fourth worst run differential in baseball right now. And the other three teams are really bad. Like the Marlins, who have one win, it's the White Sox, who have one win, and it's the Rockies, I believe, who are a total disaster. And then it's the Mariners right there. So I look at that and say, okay, having four at this point is better than where they should be. Beyond the hitting, if you go and look at the differences between ERA and fielding independent pitching, which is it's a pretty simple stat actually, that takes into account the walks, strikeouts, and home runs that you've allowed. It essentially tries to and does a pretty decent job of predicting future performance. And when there's a big gap between ERA and FIP, that means that there's going to be some positive regression to the mean. And I believe every Mariner starter has a higher ERA. In Luis Castillo's case, a significantly higher ERA than his FIP, which means it's probably gonna get better. That being said,
does it if the defense doesn't get better?
I was just gonna say,
okay.
Part of it is the defensive issues, and they need to clean that up. But ultimately, this team's gonna be. We know the pitching's gonna be good. As long as it's healthy, pitching's going to be good. The bats just need to figure it out. And everyone, Julio needs to figure it out. Crawford needs to figure it out. The new guys need to figure it out. Everyone needs to figure it out, or otherwise this thing's just going to spiral and get pretty gnarly.
Jeffrey, give the Mariner fan out there the first couple places that Jeff Passan goes to. When you know you're going to jump on with us every Tuesday throughout the entire season, and we love it, and our audience loves it, and I know you do your homework, so what are a few of the places you just mentioned? FIP right there, and I think that's a great start and a great point. What are some of the other kind of next-level numbers that you dig into, that you look at, that you really do feel like, oh boy, this is going to go off the rails, or this is going to come back to the mean?
I still think, I know this is a dissatisfactory answer. I still think it's just too early to glean anything because the stuff like hard hit rate and fastball velocity and other things that I tend to look at, mm-hmm. they haven't stabilized at this point. And it usually takes a month to get that stability in a lot of those numbers. So, I do go to Fangraphs and I go to Baseball Savant. Those are, those are like my two binkies, and those are the things that I've lean on to help educate me. And I watch games, and my eyes tell me one thing, but those are the places that have the numbers that tell me whether my eyes are lying to me. My eyes are not lying right now. It's not good.
What do we make of Julio's kind of streakiness to start his career? We've seen him look like the best player of all yep. time, and we've seen him yep. go through these stretches where he's really struggling. Is that likely to just be who he is? Is that something guys can find their way out of? What do you make of the streakiness?
Can I add just one little component to that too, and yeah. throw one other little angle on that, Jeffrey? Is it 6'3", 230? Does that play a role of it, just with the amount of size and the amount of moving parts you have on such an amazing, talented, but big athlete?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that. Like that's what you got, it doesn't look like 230, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if you look at him, you would say like 6'3", 210. He carries that 230 very well. It's very well proportioned. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot changing the body, but there are players, Mike, who that's who they are. I'm not there with Julio yet because I still think he's too young. I don't think that I don't think he's a finished product by any means. And I think I think consistency is something that can be learned, and that he's still trying to figure out some of the ways to do that.
How about swing and miss percentage? How about just the swing and miss? Is there a corollary to quarterback accuracy? When I look at quarterbacks, and there's a certain level, Jeff, that, man, they've got just some innate God-given accuracy and command, and usually those numbers don't grow tremendously. You kind of are what you are. I mean, systems can change that, but can you see a swing and miss percentage dramatically improve over the course of time?
Yes. Look at Ronald Acuna Jr.'s numbers last year. It's strikeout rate in particular is the way that manifests itself. And he cut his strikeout rate by more than 50% last year. So yes, it is possible. And I think that comes with the mastery, or as close as one can get to mastery of hitting. And I think you were telling a story last week, Mike, about how you guys were watching him hit off the traject machine, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
I think that those sorts of tools that exist now that didn't exist in the past will help in that regard. And that when you have somebody who's so innately physically talented, he's the kind of person who can take that leap at some point. But let's just, like, elephant in the room here. The hitting is an issue because of the strikeouts. I believe they have the highest strikeout rate in baseball. Last I looked, I'm not doing that thing, Brock, where I'm in front of my computer today. But
no.
Check me on this. I believe the Mariners' strikeout rate this year is 28.6%.
Yeah, they've been in the bottom five, whatever it is. I mean, the strikeouts have been problematic. I'm going to continue to argue that, you know, the bigger problem is they haven't hit for any power. They have almost no power whatsoever. They haven't walked nearly enough either. And when you walk and hit home runs, it makes those strikeouts feel not so serious.
That's what the Minnesota Twins did last year, and it took them to the playoffs. They believe they had the worst strikeout rate in baseball, and they still won their division, and they did it because they walked a lot and they hit tanks. And you're absolutely right with that.
All right, Jeff. Well, let's end on that. I don't think we've ever said those words here on this show. Mike, you're absolutely right. I'm shocked. Jeez. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know what to do with myself. The rest of the week is going to be confusing for me, but I appreciate the kind words.
Oh, I'm so sorry I gave you an existential crisis. Boo-hoo.
Jeff, thank you. As always, we'll talk next week.
All right, boys, take care.
There's our friend Jeff Passan. There is no one quite like him. He's a unique individual.
There actually is. Benetti's got a lot of him. Some of these baseballs just...
There's no one quite like Jeff. Eh. There are other people similar a little bit, but there's no one quite like that. I find him to be fairly...
I could talk about this arm situation for hours, so I apologize to our audience that wanted just hard, fast questions. But this arm is... It's compelling to me, Salk.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I was watching a high school game yesterday, and this kid threw hard. I'm like, man, he throws pretty hard. And there's guys there with radar guns. What's he throwing? 85. Like, oof. And if Dr. James Andrews tells you that the number is 80 miles an hour for high school kids, it's not sustainable. And you have injury after injury after injury after injury. And you don't think that injury at that young age impacts you later in life?
Of course it does. It does feel like this is not different from many other subjects where we really are moth to the flame as a society, where there are things we know that are bad and we just can't stop doing it.
Can't help it.
We know we should stop eating so much sugar. We can't stop doing it. We know that we should.
I should have Ty to stop throwing. You know, yesterday we had a long toss.
You can't avoid it.
And it was like, wow, he just threw it 85 yards.
Right.
Like, I can't throw 50 right now without my elbow hurting. But I should have him stop. Like, just stop doing this. This is not healthy for you at 14 years of age.
We know that we shouldn't allow kids to have access to social media. We can't stop. We are addicted to all of these things. It's fairly remarkable. And this is another pretty good example of how that works. All right, let's take a quick break because I know Brock's got a draft profile
of a
big fella. We got a big fella today. Big fella in the middle coming up next on Brock and Salk.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.